Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ooh, I love this song. Oh, this is not what I thought
bye,
it was.
Bye, bye, bye. This season's done, y'all.
I thought it was Madonna's Sorry for a minute.
That's even gayer.
When she says, je suis désolé.
You can't co-opt my moment right now because we're done, y'all. This is our last episode talking about these shitty influencers.
Oh, bye, fuckers.
You know, I was one of those people that actually enjoyed the middle parts of this season. But the tell-all...
You were like one of five people.
But honestly, this tell-all has been so disappointing. And I kept thinking...
Especially
this
episode.
Something would happen, and I would think, oh, well, it'll at least get talked about in the tell-all. And no. No, 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 no.
No. No. No. The less said, the better for me. I don't know
if anybody
is wretches
90
goodbye.
Day Fiance listens to us or Kim and Kyle or
Pink Shade
or 420
Fiance,
like,
but Married to Reality.
I hope they do fucking listen to some of these podcasters because I feel like we're the audience. We're talking about, because we all love this show.
We do have our pulse on the audience.
And we
definitely
have our pulse. And I felt like they don't have any idea of what people want from this show anymore.
Great way to start. Welcome to Reality Gaze.
Usually you go hard.
It's usually me.
I just went, move over. I'm going to fuck them now.
Don't ever do that again. I like it how you know you're not a top because you just do this.
That's how I talk. Y'all, if you're on the intimate portrait, you just saw a
you're
lot of Maddie.
Top since 1994.
Ooh, I think the only thing I ever topped was my umbilical cord in my mother's stomach.
You
just curled around it.
Unless you've topped a plate of lasagna, that just eating it.
maybe you have.
Yes,
it's true. And you topped that second dish that you got for free at Maggiano's.
Ooh, I'm not a fan of the two dishes for free.
Yeah, until you go, and then the whole time he's at the menu going, "What am I going to give the second dish?
What am I going to give the second dish
and
to
Poodle
take home?"
Poodle can't have a conversation until he decides what dish he's going home with.
That's the truth. It's very sad that that's true. But
you know what?
True.
That would make you so angry. I shouldn't tell you this. I should just do it. But it'll be like when I ordered a salad at the barbecue place, and so I'm not going to anger you. But what if we went to Maggiano's and I ordered some, or is it Italian garden? Or is it Italy
Olive Garden?
Olive Garden. What if we went, we ordered something, and then what if you ordered... Oh, and for the second dish I'd like to have this. And what if they looked at me and said, "Do you want anything?" And I said, "I'm fine."
I'd scratch your eyes out. That's that simple. That's why I'm growing my nails longer these days. Better to scratch out fairies' eyes. If I need to scratch out a bitch's eyes, you grow your thumbnails a little long because I'm not doing coke anymore. So
he would
it's better for eye scratching.
That. You would hoard that over me for a decade.
You'd be blind. That's the thing. Grow your nails a little longer just so you can scratch out some eyes. Because that's... No, not going to do that. Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Repurpose that Coke nail.
Repurpose it. Y'all, this is, thank you again for the love for our anniversary. We appreciate that. 3 years in and we.
3 years of reality. 3 years of Ardmore stories.
Mother poodle. 3 years mother of. Mother poodle bitching about a home appliances that aren't working. You know, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say we're happy, but we're happy enough in 3 years. No, I'm kidding. We're
who's happy?
We feel very blessed and highly favored.
We are blessed and highly favored,
and
definitely.
We love y'all, you know, sissies, I think very much.
I am blessed that of the people who listen to the podcast.
Oh, for sure.
And you guys coming to us and telling us either things that you like or even things you don't like. All of it's feedback. All feedback is good, especially if it is coming from a good place.
Oh yeah.
Great. All feedback. I had a teacher who would say all feedback is good feedback if you can already sense the person is trying to be helpful.
Yeah, and I you know, people say this at live shows. They say, I know you hear this all the time, but you got me through the pandemic. And I'm sorry to admit that. And I'm like, we never get tired of hearing that ever, ever, ever. So,
because we are open wounds of need.
We are open wounds of need. We need, and so,
but. I'm blessed to have you guys sent in my life.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You, different story.
I'd much rather do this with a Muppet. That would be easier. but whatever.
Close.
So, by the way, y'all, speaking
kinda
of
like Miss Piggy.
well, speaking of VIPs, y'all, if you want to come see us on live, go to our Instagram. Go to our, that has our Linktree link. That's where you can see. Maybe our TikTok does too. I don't know. We don't really know how TikTok works. Our Caitlin just helps.
We don't
us
have.
I don't even know what the profile is.
No, the profile. It's a much more user friendly interface.
Just
our Linktree on our Instagram is where we can buy tickets.
But yes, you can
y'all
buy
the Doublet tour coming to a city. Well, five cities near you.
Five cities near you. Also,
we're all on the East Coast because
all on the East Coast.
Sorry.
We're also going to have y'all our come see us in those cities again.
Or except for Chicago, that's in the middle of the country.
Again, well, Chicago, Atlanta, DC have low VIP ticket alerts. So if you want to go to the VIP, you better do that now. Tampa VIP's already sold out,
and the show itself is close to being sold out.
The show itself, honestly, y'all,
get your tickets soon.
I do think that probably maybe not Chicago, New York is fine for right now, but I do think probably these will all sell out.
Yeah, Chicago VIPs are low ticket. Probably New York is the only one that may not sell because it's a huge venue. But
that's true.
All the others will. We
sold
it
out. We sold New York, though, out two nights in a row when we were in January. And then the polar bomb happened, and no one could come.
So buy tickets.
So we're hopefully Chicago, New York. We're going to give our – well, we give our all for each shows, but
– how dare you say I don't give my all?
But we'll give our all, meaning I won't let Poodle stay up the night before and get fucked. I'll make him wait till after the show so that way he can give you
a good performance. I am still just as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed after I've been rooted.
I don't know about that.
I am more calm.
Yeah. Also, y'all, our collab with 6 Degrees of Reality. We talked about Married at First Sight. It's on their podcast feed, Six with Amy and Leslie. We had a ball with them, 6 Degrees of Reality. Be sure to check that out. Also, we have our Bi-Curious announcement.
I have an announcement.
Our Bi-Curious announcement.
Time for announcements. Boom, boom, boom.
We have that shitty little
here is the three choices for August Bi-Curious on our Patreon. That is at the $5 level. If you don't know our Bi-Curious, if you're new to the pod, we choose a show, or actually I give you three options, and you vote on Patreon, and you basically decide who wins. You decide who lives and who dies.
Yeah.
It's very Gladiator. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
I have three wonderful choices for you this month. And that voting will go up sometime this week. And I think we're recording at the very beginning of September. So okay.
Is this our August Bi-Curious?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It is.
Okay.
it's very hard to actually get these recorded.
No. I'm not shading you. I'm actually asking for myself because I don't remember where we
are.
It
is the August. Okay. I'm curious. Yes.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, we can't do it in August. We don't have time.
The choices are, number one, Indian Matchmaking Season 2. Seema helps single millennials around the globe to find their perfect match. Y'all, if you don't know this show,
to find their perfect match.
Everyone knows what the show's about.
Not everybody.
It's on Netflix. Y'all, this show was a phenomenon. Season 1, I loved the shit out of it. A lot of them are back this season. Poor fucking Nadia, she's back. I love her, but she makes terrible choices. Aparna is back, who's shady as fuck. A couple new people. Akshay.
Is there any gay guys like last season who
are Prajuman?
Yeah.
He's with someone.
Yeah.
I expect it to walk through. You'll have to find out if it's a man or a woman. It's a woman. Okay. There's some really interesting fun ones. Viral. Whew. But they're it's an interesting season because they show where the people from season one are now. Some of them are still looking for love.
Ah.
And then where the new people who are being matched.
Okay.
So it's still wonderful. Anyway.
I enjoy the show. It's very good.
Her face reader.
Next up, Poodle can say the name, but y'all, I don't think so many people have come for us about a show for a bi-curious option in a long time.
And I knew about this show when I was reading. I'm like, this has the potential for absolute cringe.
I mean, I saw it. I saw the name, and then y'all sent us all the trailers, and I watched this, and I'm just delightfully sad that that's a thing to be.
It is bonkers.
Bonkers.
This show is on A&E called Inmate to Roommate.
Is that a Discovery Plus?
No, A&E.
Not Discovery. Yeah.
I don't know if you can find it on Discovery Plus.
Inmate to Roommate.
The stories of 6 ex-convicts, I don't really like that term, formerly incarcerated, as they are released from prison and move in with people they barely know for a second chance at life on the outside. Sign me up.
Sign us up. There's this woman sleeping in a van. I'm waiting. Oh.
It is spectacular.
It looks like I can tell you,
it's cringe. It definitely looks like a Matt Sharp joint. I don't know if it is.
I don't know if it is.
But the third choice, this is bonkers too. Everything this month is crazy. Cosmic Love on Amazon Prime. 4 individuals attempt to find their perfect spouse via astrological matchmaking. There's an orb, y'all. There's a perfect fire, water, air, and earth sign. Then they're told who their ideal sign is, and they don't listen to them.
And
there's one really hot guy.
Oh, okay.
Actually, both the guys are hot.
Okay.
Yeah. One's a firefighter.
Ooh. Oh, I'm interested. I don't know if I'm interested, but yeah, I'm interested in all that. I don't kind of care what happens on the show now. Did he wear the firefighter outfit?
No. It's so stupid, I watched 3 episodes in one sitting.
You know what? I have to say, we've got to take that guy out to fucking dinner. Inmate to Roommate is a Matt Sharp show.
Yes, I had a feeling!
Yep.
I watched the trailer and I said, I swear to God, we've been doing this long enough. I was like, this feels like a Matt Sharp production.
It comes on Thursdays, by the way, for Nanny. But yeah, we don't have time to cover it because that's why we have the beauty of the bi-curious.
If you're on the Patreon, I will send. You'll get that poll sometime this week.
Yep. So anyway,
we've got so much. We've got the rest of the tell-all coming out for y'all, and a Poodle's Broadway Corner. After.
Did you start timing?
Yes.
Okay, but with the Broadway Corner, we definitely need the timer on that one.
People have been saying I need to do a whole episode of Broadway Corner.
That's fine. Do that when I do. When I want a week off. Fine with that.
You just hate my success, don't you? It's just like a star is born.
Oh, are you going to die at the end?
No, it'll be like the Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga one.
Didn't go good.
No.
Didn't go good. All right. I think that's it, right?
Yes.
Let's jump into this tell-all. Where do we leave off?
Gibberish.
I just yawned like Miona.
We just finished R&B, the first one. And y'all, we're traveling more. We want to have like a lot of adventures before kids. I know like y'all are having kids, but like, you know, we're creative nomads.
They're living in Palm Springs.
I really did try to kill him with my brain.
Yeah. Well, Sean said, so you're nomads. And he followed up.
Creative nomads. Now, to live in Palm Springs, you guys, number one, know that there is nothing really to do.
Also, sorry, I just kind of like
during the day or during
also,
the week.
Also, again, fraudacity on this storyline. Because yeah. Y'all, how far is Joshua Tree from Palm Springs?
Far.
Joshua Tree
Springs? An hour.
It's like an hour.
Yeah.
They already fucking lived in Palm Springs and went to fucking Joshua Tree.
Yeah, you're right.
Not to do their wedding, but to do their fucking music video.
Yeah, which was a music video wedding.
It's all fake, 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 fake. Get them off our televisions.
I agree. Get them off our televisions.
Get them off our television.
And it's interesting.
I'm glad I jumped on, Miona, I'm glad you jumped on the red carpet with me.
At that point, I was just starting to get sick.
I actually got a little nauseous watching him.
You know what it feels like? Remember that Andy Samberg movie, Superstar, Can't Stop, Never Stopping, or something like that?
Never saw it, but I remember it.
I'm butchering the title.
Yeah,
I think you are. But how... don't come for me there. You have absolutely... But I'm saying that's kind of what the character was like, and it was a parody. And you got that Andy Samberg was doing a parody.
Mm-hmm.
This is
real.
Real.
It's really Jabri.
Yeah.
It's
really awful. So the...
I mean, what a... what a waste of humanity.
I agree.
For both of them.
And they say they were talking about the parents, and then they can't believe the parents didn't go to the wedding. Now I kind of see why the parents didn't, because they couldn't watch their son do one more ridiculous fake thing.
Yeah.
They couldn't participate anymore.
Well, because they probably feel like you're just doing this marriage for Instagram likes.
And also, we're talking about authenticity. The most authentic thing in the fucking world are his gangster parents who declined the motherfucking tell-all.
They did. I before they started, I went, oh, they're not on here because they were asked. But I know they didn't want to come.
That's gangster.
I bet you... A, they didn't want to be a part of it anymore, but honestly, I still don't have much love for his mother.
I agree.
I bet you she heard what, probably not us, but saw on Twitter and things, because people fucking came for her,
mm-hmm.
And I bet she didn't want to be a part of that.
Right.
Because in a weird way...
is healthy.
It's healthy, but also in a weird way, the thing that her and Jabri have in common is they both like to control the narrative.
Yep. Her almost more.
Yeah. And she realized, uh-oh, I can't control this.
Y'all, then Dacho shows up. And
he looks good.
He looks a little different. Has his nose been broken a couple times from fighting?
I don't know. He looked good to me. You didn't think he looked good?
He didn't look as good as he did on the show to me.
Huh.
I don't know.
So you wouldn't hit it?
I'd hit it. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to criticize people's looks, but I'm still going to fuck them.
Okay. That's your way.
My bar is here. Here. Look. Here. It's underwater.
It's underwater. It's, yeah. Under the continent. Down there, y'all.
So, somewhere in the magma.
Magma.
Molten magma.
Magma. God.
Jabri's like... They're talking about Dacho shows up and he's like, y'all, Jabri does not want him there. And he's like, well, the thing is, I had to put you guys at a distance because you were like weighing me down. And I wrote again, everything is oppressing you.
Everything
is taking your light. You have something that everyone wants. You are so far above everyone mm-hmm. that they're trying to take, they're jealous and they're trying to take you down.
Yeah. I've said this before we started, but I felt like this became like a VH1 Behind the Music yeah. episode of their like fucking band. It just,
and then the shit hit the fan.
Yeah. And because on it, I'm going to call it out and I'll explain it later, but I felt like, I kind of feel like this whole thing, even with Dacha, was just constructed and fake. And they almost planned it out.
Oh, you mean?
The whole storyline of this.
Oh, I agree.
The whole storyline of this.
I would have, I said that as soon as.
No, I mean, even David, Dacha was in on it. Like, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally 100% just fake.
No, that thing when they were making the record, blah, 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 blah. It's all fake.
No, but even in the tell-all, I think they, even like, this is all just them like.
Yeah.
Plotting this out.
Yeah.
And so, basically, but it does, like David says that, you know. I found out, because one thing we've learned about Jabri from his parents, the thing that everyone says about Jabri is that he does what he wants to do and he's terrible at communicating it. He just got with Miona. He even got engaged.
And they found about it on Instagram. And got married
and found all this out through Instagram. And remember what I said the very first episode of them? I said, Jabri and Miona are the type of couple that believe everything on Instagram is real.
They do.
So to them, they think that is how you tell close personal friends that you got married. You don't call and invite them. You just put it on Instagram.
And remember, you guys, they had a ceremony where they're blood brothers, basically.
Yes.
So this is someone who's the closest person mm-hmm. to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. And he kept saying, you were hiding us away from – you were hiding her away from us. I'm going to ask you. Why do you think Jabri chose to do that with Miona from them, if we believe his story?
I do believe his.
Me too.
It could be fake, but I think there's truth. I think.
No, I think this actually all happened.
I think that. I think that he hid them away. They hid Miona away, or Jabri hid Miona away because he knew they would call his bullshit.
That's it, because he needs to live in his own reality.
His own Instagram world reality,
He cannot take, he knows that Miona is a mate ready for social media.
That literally, he said that's the, remember y'all.
Her brand.
He said that's the most attractive thing about her is how she takes pictures in her brand. And I went, huh?
So what he's afraid is the people he has authentic relationships with.
Yep.
Finding out, and because if that's an authentic relationship, if they don't approve, then that means she must be in some way wrong.
Yeah.
And he would be wrong.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, okay, good. Because that's what I thought about.
No,
it
yeah, yeah. And so, but you find that David says, I wouldn't have had a problem with this as much. If you need space from the band, say I need space. But the thing is,
right.
You don't communicate anything because Jabri has no follow through about anything in his life.
And then Jabri gets emotional, you guys. And when he gets emotional, he has to leave the stage.
He got so upset.
And he's like, he's trying to play the good guy.
He walks around. He's just walking around, and these grips are sitting there fucking
eating. And
just
talking to himself.
Yeah, he's just talking. You see, like, this guy just eating red vines going, what the fuck is up with this guy?
You know what? What am I talking about? They wouldn't get Crafty wouldn't be sandwiches.
No, they're fucking red vines and Starburst.
Did you see Jabri at the end taking the snacks?
Yes, because they're fucking broke.
Yo, Jabri was just packing snacks.
They've got no money. And so he's walking around, and that's where he starts to say, Jabri's line, he's just jealous. He's just jealous. And then he says, he can't be happy for me. I mean, I just want to say, be happy for me where I'm at. And that is kind of this fake enlightened wokeism of Jabri that
yep.
no matter, and he tells his parents this too. If I make mistakes, they're my mistakes. Just be happy for me. And I went, no, people should be held accountable for their actions.
I think that phrase of, I just want you to be happy for me is really, really awful. Because that is asking, number one, it's asking for everyone around you to feel a certain way.
Yes.
And not only feel and a certain way.
And that the way they're feeling is wrong.
And to, exactly, and to basically negate everyone else's feelings.
Yeah, and to say that what you're feeling, the instinct that you're feeling is not accurate, or it's not a gaslight, but it is a way of like making the other people feel not confident about their relationship with you.
Right.
And there are some situations where you would say, if that's on your wedding day and people are talking and I'm like, someone's like, I don't know if I'm like, okay, this is the day and we're going to do this. Can you just support me in this day, just today? But that's not what this is like.
That's not what this is like. Because with Jabri, he needs you not to be, but be happy for me.
Yeah.
I'm always happy for you. Is he?
And then later on, he does finally come back. And
Sean said, Miona, do you feel responsible for breaking up the group? And she goes, nope.
She doesn't feel responsible for anything.
No.
Now, what's interesting, Kobe's like, 100% it's Miona. And but cause they basically said if there was been no Miona, and then the thing is, I think someone said, there would always be some Miona.
Kobe said there'll always be a Miona. And even Miona said, yes, there would be another Miona.
And then we kind of do this weird fake, which I totally think was planned. David says he broke a commitment with me and made another one. That is an undeniable fact.
That is an undeniable fact.
And Jabri, y'all, cannot handle that.
Well, because Sean follows up and says, so Jabri, because Jabri's used this sentence a lot. She said, David is saying you weren't, that you were not a man of your word. He's been saying that a lot. I'm a man of my word. I'm men. And Jabri says, I didn't follow through. And I went, that could be the name of your memoir. Jabri, I didn't follow through.
So
can this friendship be salvaged?
And this is what's interesting. Jabri says, I just want you to say, I was wrong about Miona. I want you to blah, blah, blah. I want you to
say,
to,
thank you for everything I've given you and have empathy for me. And I went, you're a fucking walking Glennon Doyle meme, but you don't even know what it fucking means.
But without all the content and experience behind it.
Yes. Yes. You're just spouting things.
He just shares it.
But then, this is what was so fake. Then they just get up and decide to hug. And it's all
because,
worked
because
out.
Because David says, I was wrong. I was wrong about you, Miona. And weirdly, that's all it takes. And that just shows you, I think everyone who's associated with this group and everyone who Jabri considers a peer is kind of in his own level of fakery.
Yes.
They're
all lying to themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a desert of inauthenticity.
I mean,
among
David seemed less because he does have like an actual business and makes money, but still when it comes to like Jabri, yeah, that's a good point. Even the mother, they all like
everyone.
This,
everyone lives in this, and when they're challenged, they walk off set.
Does he have siblings, Jabri, at all?
No, I don't think so.
Wish he did. Be interesting to see what his siblings thought of him.
That's true. They probably didn't want to be on. Is it time for a week to?
Oh yes,
a petit break. Yeah.
Y'all, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Poodle's Broadway Corner is next. Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle? Or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com patreon.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Clacker!
Y'all, we're here.
No, I'm it's starting off this way.
How are you starting?
It's Poodle's Broadway Corner!
If you are into soccer or things like that, this is when you can go poop.
Soccer?
I don't know. All right.
Why are you listening to our show if you're into soccer?
Ooh, if you're a man who plays soccer and you listen to our show.
You don't.
Actually, there's a couple of women soccer players I'd let bang me. Ooh.
Yeah, they would. All right, number one. Y'all, here. This is some... If you're new to the pod, this is where I just talk about things...
Gay shit.
Broadway adjacent that yeah. I want to talk about. Stuff in the world.
It's kind of like the way he feels about Oklahoma stories. He says he doesn't like them, but then he gets interested. And I kind of feel the same way because they're usually pretty good stories.
These are kind of things that are in the news about either theater or theater adjacent.
Okay.
Because that was kind of...
The drama's not just on the stage.
The drama's not just on the stage anymore.
No, it's not.
And because that was kind of my life before the podcast is I did music and theater. And I still really? Kind of do it.
At 11 o'clock at night in your bedroom? You know what?
That I am theater.
No. he did do a lot of music and theater.
I don't you see do theater. Some. I be theater. And
at 1 a.m. on a Thursday morning, piano.
I'm Sarah
webcam.
Bernhardt.
Oh, yes.
We're like Sarah Moanhard.
Oh, wow. Just, we're going to have to keep going.
Yikes. Okay, first up.
I mean, there's already a big bottle of lotion on your coffee table. I don't know why.
CeraVe.
That sounds like a drag
CeraVe.
Queen. CeraVe. They're not paying for
it. CeraVe.
They're not paying for an advertising.
Your brioche just fractures me. That's interesting because that's not interesting. Laura Osnes, Broadway star Laura Osnes, who first came into world renown or U.S. renown for... Her winning Sandy in the Grease, You're the One That I Want.
Not familiar.
Tour. Oh, how could you miss that? It was a reality show to cast Sandy and Danny for the new Grease tour.
Yeah, I
you
saw that.
Remember
looked,
that.
I remember that show. It looked terrible, and I didn't
want
to watch
awful.
It. It was
awful.
I didn't want to watch
but
it.
But Laura Osnes won, and she was very talented. Max Crumb won the Danny role, and I worked with him in New York, and I'm like, wait, aren't you gay? And he's like, no. Cut to 3 years later, he's living with a man. Call that. The show's also about me just talking about people I know.
Okay.
He's talented.
Good.
He could pick better projects.
Okay.
But I knew it was good.
Focus! What about Laura Osnes?
Osnes!
Osnes.
Laura Osnes has been in... She was in Cinderella. That's not Cinderella. Cinderella. She was the lead in Cinderella.
Okay.
She's done tons of things. Okay. Well, She has filed a lawsuit against the New York Post for releasing that she was fired from a Crazy for You one night only for not getting vaccinated for COVID.
Okay.
Refusing to get vaccination. She said, I left that job because I was not given a chance and we were in the middle of family planning. So it wasn't right for me to get the vaccine at that time. Again, it has not been proven that the COVID vaccine has anything to do with children or not being able to have children.
Pregnancy. That is.
Yeah. And she said it's a choice between me and my doctor. Now, she would be endangering everyone in the cast because this was August 2021 when COVID was off the chain.
And also in Broadway shows. We're open for like 2 days and then yes. shut down for like yes. 2 weeks,
yes.
a month, and then open for 3 days.
Or there were productions
days,
that
then
were just
shut down.
So there was a level of desperation in the air. And so when one
you
person,
should go on to say probably of any probably
whose corner is this?
I just want to. Well, sometimes you feel you act like everybody knows theater here, and sometimes
go ahead.
Not. I would go venture to say that probably out of all the arts, probably Broadway and theater have been decimated the most by COVID.
Totally.
So
yes.
I think that's what the fear of this. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Broadway was just gasping for air.
Yes.
And they were doing a one-night benefit performance. She was the only one who would not produce a vaccination record, and she said she left voluntarily.
Okay.
Well, it basically came out that she was not, and so she was labeled anti-vaxxer, blah, blah, blah. I'm not here to say what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm just know that she was then promptly disinvited from like four other things that she had in her career.
Oh.
Now she's working at some new musical in Nashville, and it's basically ruined her career. Now, that being said, she has filed a defamation suit against the New York Post, and she basically says, what's the exact word she uses here? Libelous conduct has caused and continues to cause disgrace, humiliation, harm to my professional and personal reputation, mental anguish, and emotional distress. Well, honey, if you just would have gotten the vaccine, all this would have been fine.
It all would have been fine.
Because, y'all, we know we're vaccine lovers here.
We are vaccine
so
lovers.
So fuck off, Laura Usness. I enjoyed you for a long time. You're now on my fuck off list. She was going to reunite with Jeremy Jordan for this Bonnie and Clyde.
When were they together the first time?
When it was on Broadway, you Philistine.
When what was on Broadway?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde was on Broadway?
Yes.
That's a terrible idea
you
for a musical.
You missed everything.
They die at the end.
Well, there's a song called Dying Ain't That Bad.
What's the next point?
It's actually a decent score. Not a great show. That's it.
Oh, that's your Broadway's corner? It's just one thing?
No, that's the show. You said, what's the next point? Oh, there's more.
Oh, great.
All right. I'm gearing up for the next thing is...
You got 5 minutes.
Actors Equity. You got
10 minutes.
The union that represents actors is now trying to... Is moving to unionize strippers.
I heard this on NPR.
Now, there are so many things... There's nothing.
Was this
ethically
in Portland that they're doing this?
Now it's in LA.
It's in LA. Oh, it is in LA.
There is nothing ethically wrong with this. I
agree. In the valley.
Wages aren't fair. The problem is, how can you enforce this? So are you going to call every strip club an equity house? Are there going to be non-equity and equity houses? This is all lip service to make equity look good and a cash grab to get exotic dancers to join.
And that aren't going to happen. They tried it in the NPR article, actually. I know a little bit. They said that a place in San Francisco tried to form a strippers union in 1996.
Right. It has been attempted several times. The problem here is this is disingenuous. Actors Equity has for a long time been trying to stand up for the rights of actors and things like that. In the last couple of years, through dwindling memberships, They have minimized the requirements it takes to become an Actors Equity actor.
Well, Actors Equity and SAG honestly have done a piss poor job of just
because I'm all for unions, you guys. But once when you start reducing what you need to do to get into the union, you make the union toothless.
You make the union toothless, but then
anyone can get in.
But they also don't do anything to when it's harder to get in. They don't do anything to encourage or give. I'm blanking on the word
incentives
for companies to hire
Union and actors. When does membership actually come with status?
SAG keeps doing the same thing. They keep lowering our day rate and lowering our day rate and lowering our day rate.
So what's happening now is it's not the problem that I have with representing exotic dancers and unionizing. How are you going to enforce this? There's no way to enforce this kind of thing. It's going to be different in every house.
Yeah.
It's,
I have no idea.
It's a cash grab, plain and simple. I'm a very pro-union person. I'm a member of Musicians Union.
And isn't there a dancers union, or is that what
Actors Equity?
Equity. Okay. They represent dancers as well. Because I feel like this is less acting and more dancing, but I guess it depends on the stripper.
We're parsing very, very complicated things.
But it's confusing, like, where and why would this even fall in that?
Yes.
Because then it's going to say, like, then does SAG need to start... Does SAG need to start unionizing porn actors?
Exactly. This is a slippery slope.
Because I've been on a porn set, and that is acting. I had to powder a guy's ass.
Lastly, the new Devil Wears Prada musical is playing Chicago. It has received medium to not so good reviews.
Okay.
Now, the most important thing, and I still can't get over this, the Miranda Priestley has very... Number one, I said this before when this musical was announced. Problem is that character doesn't sing. That her whole thing is subtlety based on...
You don't know what she's thinking.
Yes.
That's the point of a song is where you sing what's coming from your heart.
Now, the problem is they wrote the score and the character doesn't sing all that much, which is the actual problem. And people are saying, why isn't Randy given a big song? Well, that's why it shouldn't have been a property. Now, Elton John wrote the music for it, and Shana Taub wrote the lyrics. And I think, what's her name? Kate Weatherhead wrote the book. Now, what they have done is updated a black actress to be Andy. And it is updated a little bit, but... They give the Nigel character, the Stanley Tucci character, a lot of songs to sing. But in most ways, people are saying it just falls flat because, like the movie, they focus too much on Andy's friends. Remember, it was like about her friends and her boyfriend, the Adrien Grenier character. We're like, he sucks.
They did a little bit. I still like that movie.
It is very much of its time, though. And they had to update it, and things aren't working. So they flew Jerry Mitchell, you know, director of, like, Legally Blonde, Kinky Boots, and everything like that, out to fix the show. So we'll see what happens, because it has a Broadway, it's aiming at Broadway.
They'll probably have Elton write her a song at the end, like a big song for her to sing at the end.
But what I'm saying is, yes, guys, you can fix a show, but it seems like there's too much intrinsic stuff to fix.
Has there ever been a show that was really bad that got fixed that went on to great acclaim?
In preview or in out-of-town tryouts?
Out-of-town or preview tryouts that did really terrible and then they fixed it and it became like it was a really great show and did well.
It rarely happens. You know where when things do get fixed? In workshops. This did have workshops, but I don't think anything was really fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we've had to go all the way to out-of-town tryouts and these fundamental problems were not fixed, that's a problem of leadership. And Anna Shapiro, who directed it, the things that she directed before is August Osage County. So I question the appropriateness of that director.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Than a musical.
It's a different piece.
I enjoyed that play very much.
Yes, but it's
that
just...
play, that is a very... Yeah, that's not... No. So, no. I don't have words to that.
Y'all, every single thing I saw about this show, it's been around for development for about 5 years now. Every single thing I saw, I was like, that's not good. Oop, that's not good. That's weird. Anna Shapiro? What? It was all weird. Anyway... That's Poodle's Broadway Corner.
I've aged.
It was only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I kept my rule.
Yeah, you don't have rules. That's
it was
your
five,
rule.
It was, I started at 36.
It was 10.
Was it?
Yeah. The second half started at 36.
I don't remember that.
Exactly.
People love it.
That was informative, I have to say.
You asked questions.
I did. All right. Let's jump in. Do you even remember where we are now?
No.
Where we? Yeah, great.
I'll let you talk.
All right. So, y'all, we just got done talking about Jameer. Let's talk about there's kind of this second half of Emily and Kobe where her parents come on, Lisa and David. We find out everyone still is living together. And then
in that house with one bathroom.
Yes. And David said,
boy, they rehabbed these parents' image.
I know.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so I agree with you that they're like taking that they want. I'm telling you, after you explained it, I think it's more than just pillow talk. I think it's
they're grooming,
family Coben.
They are grooming them to be a presence in the show later.
Yes, y'all. They will have at least their own online spinoff. Mark my words.
That's what I'm telling you. I know people quibble with this. I still think, is she a bad person? Yes. I still think the edit she got was worse than who she is.
I agree with that. But I think my big problem with them is the edit that you get on the show should coincide with what we see you defend on the tell-all.
100%.
None of that happened to her. None of
she got off scot-free.
Didn't really happen to her. Did we have it? We had it. They did it with Patrick and Thais. Bilal and Shida. Yeah, somewhat.
He got roasted mostly by
he got roasted for the prank.
Yeah.
As he should have. And then
Jabri and Miona really didn't have anything.
Jabri and Miona, it was about his parents.
Yeah.
And they decided not to show up.
Yeah.
So they didn't have anything to talk about because Jabri and Miona never really thought about it.
Kara and Guillermo was about the computer, but that was the only problem
they brought up the computer. That was the only problem they had. And then Ari and Biniam, they did talk about her in the MMA fire.
Yeah.
So it was a gaping hole. And I'm not talking about Poodle in college. I'm talking about a gaping hole on this tell-all. That's
what my jersey said.
There goes gaping hole, boys.
Hey, boys, 00.
Listen, NASA just said you can hear what he sounds like in space.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
Have you ever listened to things in space? I love that when they do the things, the recordings of like a black hole.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Space.
Oh, the sound it makes.
I love it. It's freaky.
I think you would like Star Trek if you ever got into it.
Oh, I'm such a space. I was in Young Astronauts. I still want to watch the one.
Young Astronauts?
Yes.
That's a thing?
Yes. I went to space camp.
But not the one in...
No, the one in Oklahoma. We couldn't afford the one in Alabama.
I always need to point that out because that's the reputable one.
This is I went to the one at OU.
You went to the one that had like potato sacks as costumes.
Pretty much, yeah. It was not good.
And fish bowls for the
like the when we did the thing and we got in the spaceship, it was just made of a spaceship they made of plywood and painted on it. They had some little lights inside that would kind of light up and look like a... But no, I would 100% get into it. I love all this Interstellar, Gravity, all those movies. I go see at the theater.
You need to go back to...
I want to watch the new Star Trek now on Paramount because everyone says it's really good and kind
it's
of
really good.
Harkens back to the old
it's
one.
It's really good.
And I never started Picard. I watched just...
Picard.
I watched The Next Generation some when I was little.
That's more of a soap. But it still is very
but I've
much.
I've never seen William Shatner Star Trek. Ever.
I'm going to stop now because
it's probably where do you start? But I probably could get really into it.
You would actually
you want me
love,
to go to a Trekkie convention with you?
You would actually love Deep Space Nine.
Oh, really?
People like Eliza are actually just starting to finger bang right
yeah,
now.
Woo!
No, that's like hardcore. Yeah.
Maybe I'll Google a list of how to begin Star Trek.
I did not love the CBS series. I did not love...
Discovery or...
Yeah, something like that. I liked the cast. I just never really found the story super compelling.
Okay.
Yeah. It was network again, so... Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Anyway, other things that aren't about this tell-all.
Yeah, other things that... So, that, but we do find out that they... Emily and Kobe said that they do buy, because Kobe, y'all remember, he is working, and they say they buy all the groceries. And David says they do have a time frame in mind. I think what he felt like he was saying, and I wish he would have said, again, I wish they would have said this, missed opportunity. What was the big thing of David and Lisa and their concern for Kobe? Is he going to work to support this family
right.
and get them out on the time? He's doing that. Let's see them say, he's really honoring what he said. We're really proud of him. Like,
no, but
we don't get that.
But Sean just like, so how's your sex life?
I don't fucking care about
weird.
This. Why?
And then they talk about the big thing was about breastfeeding. And again, y'all, we don't care how long you breastfeed.
Do whatever
if
the fuck
breastfeed,
you want.
You know, well, the only thing we have said before is if your 4-year-old child says, Mama, may I have some breast milk?
May. Hey, I do enjoy what Lisa said. Just this, she said this, and I never thought about it in this way, how like we conceptualize breasts
normalize
sexual things. What if we think of them first as how people, if they can or if they want to, how people feed their children.
Right.
And then everything else is second. And I went...
I think
that's a good way
I think
to
just
look
saying
at that.
Normalizing it.
Yeah.
You know, make it because we do have a sexualization, but it's also can those two sit side by side?
And again,
instead of
this wasn't an issue. This was on one episode.
Yeah.
And then Kobe said, okay, and moved on. Whereas the engagement ring was three fucking episodes of 90 Day Fiancé, and they didn't even talk about it. I can get angry sometimes, too.
Du calme.
You know what? I can get angry. Best line of the tell-all when Kobe says, but he doesn't need these boobs to survive. And then we hear, I literally set you up. And then we hear, you didn't need it to survive.
Yeah.
You didn't need it to survive. When Mohammed said that, I went, wait
Fell
a minute.
Out.
Does the robot have a sense of humor?
Yes.
And I laughed heartily.
You didn't survive. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're talking about breastfeeding. They kind of finish up. And they're kind of like, you know what I realized Ari is? Again, she really can't speak very eloquently. And she gets so emotional or anxious. It's really hard for Ari to speak up. And I feel that now. But you know when you have like, when you've ran a lot of like musical direction or run meetings. You know how you have a meeting? And there's one person who's kind of quiet, and you all have the meeting. You discuss everything that needs to be discussed. And then you stop, and you go, okay, well, I think that's it, everybody. And then one person says, excuse me, Jake.
Oh, the worst.
And they bring up not something that was just talked about, but something that was talked about 45 minutes ago that they were thinking about. That's Ari.
Yeah. That's when I'm like, okay, thank you.
That's Ari, because Ari just says, they're done talking about breastfeeding, and Ari said, I just want to point out that Jabri was bullying Billy.
And here's what he said.
She was right
Here's what I don't want to defend Jabri here, but I think when Beanie was saying something about trying to decide about what to about breasts and things like that. He was trying to find a way to say, he's like, well, and you could, and I think Jabri was making fun of him trying to equivocate, like, but it sounded like he was making fun of his English.
Because Benny brought up that in my culture, breastfeeding, we would support and want the woman to breastfeed.
But he was asked about something, he's like, but I'm not saying that's what Jabri, I thought
and
he was
Ari
making
said,
fun of.
Yes, and Ari said, he's really working on his English, and you were bullying him.
Well, but she just noticed an opening, and she took it.
But she's not great at it.
No.
And then, and Sean just goes, okay, well, before we let you guys go, and she asks, what did you give Kobe, David? And luckily, they're like, Kobe's like, well, I don't want to say.
Good for them.
They're not, that's between them.
And then.
I still think it was a condom.
And then. And then he's like, you're taking care of my daughter. That's what. And then we tear up a little bit. Kobe tears up. And then all of a sudden they're off the set and Kenny and Tim are talking to Emily.
Talking to me behind the scenes.
Like she's fucking Barry Manilow.
And then there was this moment where Poodle was watching his TV and realized, oh God, I'm more like Tim than I thought, because we realized Tim likes a fist bump, and I was so proud of Tim saying on television,
I don't hug y'all. That's not what I do. I'm sensitive.
Because
your
Poodle
boy
says,
Tim,
normalize not hugging.
Normalize. I think it's also normalize asking.
I love that Tim did that though.
Yeah, because I do this my whole life. I've always felt like I was forced to be, because everyone else is hugging, and I would tell myself, okay, you're going to have to hug someone. You're not going to really be comfortable with it, but so you just go ahead and do it. And I did that. I do it a lot less now. I will hug my friends if I'm close to them, mm-hmm. and if I want to hug them.
But even if you didn't want to, and you were like, even at our live shows or whatever, you're like, I'm going to do a fist bump today, everyone. That's great. Or I'm just going to wave.
I think
that's great.
One of the reasons I at our VIPs for the live shows, I wind up hugging people is because I can actually see that they're meeting me emotionally halfway.
Well, and you're moved because people came.
Yeah. And so,
or their husband's really hot and you basically molested him. And so you need to hug their wife because it just feels
and
awkward.
And I think we already have a... Even I can tell we already have a relationship because they listen to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah,
they,
yeah.
They
it
know
doesn't
me
feel
a
like
little
a
bit.
Stranger.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a stranger as much. But
I enjoyed it when Tim said it.
There are people who come up and they don't say, maybe they know what I say, and they just kind of say this, and I'm like, I'm not going to hug them. I'm just going to either shake their hand or say, I'm so happy you're here. And that's all fine too. There's a lot of... What I encourage people to when it comes to hugging and not hugging, there's such a big amount of nonverbal cues that happen before you hug someone, even in the way a person approaches someone with their eyes, with what their body language is saying. Start to read that more instead of just bringing your arms out.
Are you trying to hug me right now?
No, that's never going to happen.
That's what I was reading. I thought your body language would say you want to hug me right now.
You're still getting it wrong.
What? Oh, okay. Well, it looks
like most things in life, you're reading things wrong.
Okay, well.
No, please.
He just hit me on the intimate portrait,
y'all. Your touch is like acid to me.
Okay, well, I guess I just was reading the signs wrong.
Nope.
So,
wrong again.
I want to say that I liked Kenny and Tim more this episode. Their first one, he's just
it's
talking.
It's still weird.
But it was weird for them to talk about Emily just about raising kids. Like, normal. Humanized Emily to me.
Do you like anybody else on the show? Do you like Thais? And they're like, who's your favorite?
Well, I loved it when Kenny was like, how are you doing with those kids? Are you just tired? She's like, yeah, it's a lot. And Kenny,
he's like, four under
said,
four.
I did four. And Tim goes, you have four kids? And Kenny goes, hi, this is my friend Tim.
He's like, I'll give your husband back. Tim's like, I'll give your husband back to you now.
Give me a Kenny and Tim road trip.
I agree.
I would watch that shit.
I think it'd be really, I think a couple's road trip with Veronica.
The four of them in a minivan.
Shut up.
I would love that. I would.
What did
I
you take?
That.
I love that.
I love that.
Do you want to move on to a little bit of Ari and Beanie?
I think just that, because we did say, Emily did say, she said, Kenny said, who got under your skin? And she said, Jabri.
Didn't make any sense.
He just kept coming to people. He came at John. Y'all, everyone agreed that he just came at John. And she's like, I just want to tell Jabri to shut up.
Yeah.
The only good thing that we have, hopefully, that we won't see Jabri on our television anymore is that Miona's a dud.
She is.
She's pretty lifeless.
She's not
on
good
camera.
Television.
She's not good television. She's kind of like Thais. We never really see who she is. We can only pray.
Yeah, I agree. So Ari and Beanie, they're showing the clips a little bit of the sisters and how
the wine throw.
I could still watch that over and over again. That was a lot. It's not really that bad until a little bit more than I thought it would.
Oh, wow.
And Kara basically says after seeing that, where's the respect for your wife?
The mother of your child.
Yeah, and I was kind of...
She said, where's the line?
I was interested to see, and Beanie said, well, I didn't want to make it worse. Basically saying the things we always know, y'all, is he's so avoidant, he's trying to make everybody happy by not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. He and Ari are both avoidant, attached, which is not a good combination.
And weirdly, this is a lot like Patrick and John.
Yeah.
Because Beanie was raised by his sisters.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
A way. So there is that kind of relationship there. The problem here is from what the sisters have done is really now not just affecting Ari, it's affecting their child.
Yes.
So
yes. And even Sean, she said, I'm pushing back on this, Beanie, because while we were watching this, all the women here were disgusted.
Yeah.
And that's where Shida jumps in and says,
ooh, she came.
Shida says, I wanted to cry for you. And she looked at Beanie and she said, Beanie, you have to create these boundaries. Yeah. This is your wife.
Yeah.
And Beanie is talking. Did you understand what he was saying? I mean, like, I understood him, but it made no sense what he was trying to say in defense of it. Just was, it wasn't even like logical or thought out.
It was all emotional babble. Because he's so right there, and he's in fight or flight. And Ari said he gets overwhelmed right then. And the problem is he's so overwhelmed because he lives in fear.
Yeah.
He lives so in fear of making anyone angry because he can't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
He would crumble if someone thought badly of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how he lives.
That's true. Of course, Mohammed jumps in. Maybe he felt his wife didn't respect his sister.
Right. Projection much. Anyway.
And Guillermo then jumps in and says, no. If you don't put your foot down with them,
they'll never stop.
There will be no limit.
Emily jumps in, blah, blah, blah. And Ari says something here that is so perceptive because she understands him. She's like, I sympathize with him because he feels stuck all the time. And he feels stuck because he can't. He's stuck in between these two places. And then what happened after this was so interesting. She's like, when I came back from Africa, I let him talk. I knew and I let him communicate his emotions. And I feel like that's helped us a lot because mm-hmm. I always talked after him. And I'm like, is this growth from you?
I think so. I think so. It's almost like Ari kind of seems like she was broken.
Yeah.
Something like in a maybe good way broke apart.
Did she just, was she trapped in a Brene Brown lecture?
Maybe. And she just went, wait a minute, this makes sense. Or she went to sleep while Atlas of the Heart was
yes.
on.
Yes.
Something.
She woke up.
Kara jumps in. She said, yeah, but Beanie, then you told her she needed to come say goodbye to your sister.
Yeah, that's awful.
Right after they just threw wine on her. And that's when Beanie said, well, you know, it's really hard because if Avi wasn't in the picture, we might not be together. This is totally true, y'all, and not what you need to say.
Mic drop.
It's 100% true.
And y'all, everyone on the stage went, did he just say that out loud?
I got what he meant, though. He
but
meant
it's
that
true.
They're terrible for one another.
It's true.
And both of them actually said that in their own words, yeah, that we were not meant to be together.
He said it very overtly, and she said it round and round, a little bit more nuanced. And Kara's like, so how old's the kid going to have to be for you guys to get to leave each other?
Are you going to be together when he's an adult?
Now,
great question.
It is. But
we're staying together. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry, Debbie Gibson song. You weren't into Debbie Gibson.
Is that a hit?
Oh, yeah. It was from the Electric Youth album.
Was it a single?
Because there was so much more than love at first sight. Please say you'll stay. Say you might. And say we are. Bump, bump, staying together.
Was it a... I'm asking, was it a single?
I don't know if it was, but it was on the album. So many sissies our age just danced to that song. And a couple of goth ones said, hate it.
I just knew the singles.
And if you go, my heart would leave me. Sorry, I loved that album. Ooh, I just got a gay.
I think that's the show.
I think that's
the end of the tell-all.
Oh, yes. That is the... I will say one thing. Talk about a bully. Ari is talking and actually having this, I think, great conversation about her and Benny and if they're staying together or not. And Jabri and Miona are fucking laughing.
It's awful.
Like middle school bullies.
No, they
That's another thing that makes me never want to see his face.
Classless.
They are cruel.
Yeah, they are.
They are cruel people, and they are the type of people that are what's wrong with people in the world. They're the type of people that would watch you get robbed or get beat up, and they would record it on their phone so they could get Instagram likes from it.
He needs to humiliate and make other people feel bad to know he's alive.
Because they're both talentless. Yep. And I thought he was talented, but I realized, no, his talent is he's a bullshitter.
Yep.
They're both talentless because, y'all, she doesn't do her makeup well.
No.
They have nothing to offer the world.
Oh, a sissy told me that she saw them in Vegas in Target. And they're like, she did say, he's short, which you can kind of tell.
Mm-hmm.
And her makeup was on point, but she still had that big crazy long ponytail.
Vegas sounds like the city for them.
Agree.
That's why
someone also sent us a reel where Patrick and Thais were hanging out with Jabri and Miona.
Yeah.
And John.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fight you.
I guess they made up.
Well,
or it's just fraudacity.
Yeah.
All right. So after the tell all, everybody's kind of packing up, and we see Arya's like, Jabri is a fucking asshole.
Fucking asshole.
Now, then everybody just kind of... Emily says she's talking to Bilal and Shine, and she's like...
That was terrible of them, Jabri, to say that.
She was like, I should have said something. I regret that I didn't say something there. She's like, I want to say I'm sorry for that. And I went...
She got Emily, the hero edit of this tell-all.
I'm like, Emily, what the... And she even said... She even said to Kenny and Tim, we forgot to say this. She said, I thought a lot more bullets would be thrown at me this tell-all. And even Emily was like, okay,
Why are people not coming for me?
Was she like Mother Teresa in a past life or some shit like that?
I don't know.
Getting the karma from it? But anyway, let's talk about kind of what you were talking about with Bilal and Shia.
This is going to haunt my dreams or nightmares. Is her... Them saying basically, how did it get into that?
Basically, Bilal said, here I am thinking I'm this good guy.
Right.
But everyone sees it different. And he just goes,
martyr.
Didn't feel good. No, he didn't say it that way. And he said, didn't feel and good. Y'all, because martyr.
Shida's sitting there and it almost overwhelms her what's just happened. And it's almost like she's just seeing the next week with him and knowing what she's going to have to put up with. She turns away from him, and they're asking him questions, and she's starting to cry. He looks soullessly directly into camera.
He looks at the camera, but she says, we need to identify what the problem is because this could turn out like your last marriage. And then now it made sense to me of why his ex-wife came on, why they asked her questions about her. And I went, Oh, because this is going to be the storyline of Happily Ever After. Yeah. Can Bilal change his pattern? And they're going to try to give Bilal a redemption at it.
Ah!
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
That's what we're going to see on Happily Ever After. It's the redemption of Bilal.
It's not real. I'll never believe it.
I don't.
He's a sociopath.
Either. I won't believe it either.
Not after what I just saw of him staring into the camera. Just...
Y'all, and then...
That's what it is.
I think this is the first time in a tell-all we got an epilogue.
It is.
And boy. Now, we already saw this a little bit because some 90-day news alert.
Yeah, and I don't think... Posted this. No, I don't think... I think Screengasm has... Screen Rant or Screengasm or whatever it is. Screen Jizz.
I saw it in one... I don't know if it was Mel... One of the 90-day news.
But no, it's like... I don't know if any of the big... I think a lot of the things about this were not corroborated.
That's why we didn't talk about it. But this is a fact.
This is a fact now.
Eve discovered the text messages that were all about Muhammad, and they showed them, and basically it's a Muhammad talking to a woman, talking about having sex with her, talking about being with her intimately, talking about once he... And he says, like,
and
once
like
I get
Eve's
my green,
right here, once I get my green card.
Once I get my green card, I'm out. Yeah, Eve's right. All on his phone. He's too stupid to delete the text thread.
And then Eve says, well, I guess we really do have to work some things out. I went,
what?
Oh, my God. And he's crying. He's like, I want to make it up to
He's
her.
Like, I went too far. He's crying, y'all, because he's scared.
And he's caught.
And he's caught. That's the only reason he's crying, because he doesn't want to go back to Egypt.
So, okay, quick question. That's basically it.
That's a tell-all.
Do you think she would take him back?
Yes.
I do too. I realized that as soon as she said that, she would take him back, y'all.
Yes, she would take him back. 100%.
They
unless the sirens harpy too much at her.
Yeah.
Just.
But the thing is, he's going to get that green card and try to mooch off her as long as he can. And then it's going to be like an original Muhammad situation. Muhammad, I'm going to come see you in Florida.
Exactly what'll happen. They'll be divorced in 3 years. For sure.
So what do you... Let's do... Will there, won't there, stay together.
Okay.
For all the couples. Emily and Kobe.
I think they'll be together for a long... Maybe not forever, but like not 50 years. But I mean, they're going to be a successful marriage.
He'll stay for the kids to get old enough.
But I'm not saying that they are. I'm saying they're like a normal couple. Like,
yeah.
They could be together for 50 years, or they could.
She'll bug the shit out of him.
But they're at least
long enough.
They're going to be together for like 15 to 20 years.
Yeah. I say 10.
Let's see. But who knows? What do you think about Guillermo and Kara?
Yeah.
I think, again, the same. I think they're going to be together for a long time.
They had no problems.
I could actually see them being together for a very long time.
Me too.
Let's talk.
They're
about,
in love. They're.
We're not going to do Bilal and Shida because we're going to see them
happily ever after.
Jibiri and Miona already said that. I think they're going to be together for like 5 years tops. What do you think?
I think they'll break up next year.
Oh, you think that soon? Okay. Well, she won't have a green card yet.
Oh, then whenever she gets the green card.
Yeah, I think 5 years. And because they're going to mooch off of each other, help each other's career. And then when one of them doesn't need the other one, again, and it'll probably be her.
Right.
Who else?
Ari and Beanie.
Ari and Beanie. I mean,
it's the wild card for me.
It's not when they're going to break up. It's who's going to do it.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I think now that Beanie is getting this MMA, y'all, he's gaining his confidence in who he is.
Yep.
He will cheat on her. Yeah. And honestly, she will probably cheat on him.
Yeah, I agree.
They're both too much of the same person not to. In fact, I would even see her going to Ethiopia like she did to do something, finding another Ethiopian man and cheating on him with Benny.
Or cheating emotionally.
I'm sorry, with someone. Y'all. Cheating.
Cheating on
him. Cheating on him emotionally. Anybody else?
Cheating.
Who else is left? Patrick and Thais.
Patrick and Thais. You know, this is tough because I think they'll wind up staying together. I don't think they're that deep. I think he loves her titties and her butt, and she is into him.
I think
they'll be fine.
I think they'll be together for a while, and they'll just and he'll end up having an affair on the side.
Yes.
And she'll be okay with it.
Yes,
but not talk about it.
Yes.
Wow, that got dark.
No, I think you're right.
But I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I think who is? I mean, we pretty much know who the loser of the tell-all is. I'm pretty sure it's Gibberish. But who is your hero of the tell-all? We talked about part one.
Hero?
Part two. Who do you think, like, won the tell-all? Who do you think did the best job in part two?
Emily. By making people like her.
I want to say Kara, because I love Kara and Guillermo, and Kara really, they won the first part, but they really didn't have a lot to say. This,
no, Emily came across like,
and I have to say,
Miss America. Miss America, MRS America.
It was Emily. I mean, did you see how gorgeous she looked even backstage?
I hate it. I don't want to talk about it.
Y'all, that is it. That is season 9 of 90 Day Fiancé. We're moving on to Hey Next. We are covering all the couples except for Big Ed. We are not covering Big Ed and yep. Liz of Hey. Other people are, some are covering Angela, some are not. We are, y'all, we believe it's our duty, unless someone's, we believe like we'll cover it. If you want to skip it, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
That's fine. Some people want to still listen to it. So there yeah. we are. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. But remember, we call these people the loneliest fucking hearts.
Loneliest. Loneliest, disgusting motherfucking hearts.
And, but aren't we all just lonely hearts, disgusting hearts in America looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
No.
I mean, you were gaping hole in college.
Yes. But, if you know every single track on that Debbie Gibson album. Not just the singles like I do.
And if you go, my heart would leave me.
You can call us.
And coming out the door, it's like I told you before. Staying together.
I hate this.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.